which will invoke a lot of divine blessings. I've prepared this lecture very carefully to make sure it's really traditional and how it should be given. And then at the end, I will also request Krishna Murari to say a few words. I believe you will see as you listen what is appropriate. Good? So we are now on a very, very, very spiritual place, and we will do something very, very, very spiritual. If not here, where else? Gokrishna, come here with the harmonium. And it is soon, the sun will soon touch you. Please don't think, oh, it's cold, oh. Do we have a mridanga? We have. Good. We will sing Om. Go Krishna. We will sing Om Namo. And you can sing along with me to make sure we sing properly. Yeah? Das ist ein bisschen kalt für dich, Hendrik, oder? Geht es? Ja? Then we will sing Hare Krishna.
Oh,
It is with great joy in our hearts that we are allowed to stay here and invite all of you for this program and glorification of the Bhagavatam. I must say, for me, this is a very important moment in my spiritual life. I had heard that the Bhagavatam was recited here by the four Kumaras. There is a line of Sampradaya going from the four Kumaras, which is told in the Bhagavatam, and I will inform you very soon. And it was spoken here to Sri Narada Muni. So this place was always very sacred and has retained its sanctity up to this time. You can see there are very good sadhus up there. If you look behind you, there are two of them. And you can see by their faces, these are the sadhus you don't meet so often. Good. So I will first ask Vikramaditya, he will be our Tirthapanda today, to explain to us in his brief and concise way to what is the speciality of this place. I will give you the microphone, for the recording, Vikrama, just 1 second, so that it is recorded for the grandchildren. Perhaps you just hold it.
Okay, well. May I start?
Yeah.
Yes. Hare Krishna, dear Vaishnavas and respected sadhus. With the mercy of Sri Sachinandan Maharaj, we are all here on the banks of Mother Ganga in the most beautiful place called Brahmapuri. Now, Brahmapuri is a Sanskrit word. It can mean different things. One can say it's the land of Brahma, but it's also the place where the original Brahma Gyan, Bhagavatam, was spoken. The original Bhagavatam was spoken. So as we all know from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadev Goswami in to Parikshit Maharaj in Shukratal, which is a little below Haridwar. But that was just 5,000 years ago. But the original Bhagavatam in the beginning was spoken by the Sanat Kumaras to Narada Rishi. Bhagavatam itself says how Bhagavatam was also spoken by Lord Brahma to Narada Rishi, and then Narada Rishi gave it to Vyasadev. But Narada Rishi himself was in a despondent stage, as is mentioned in Padma Puran, which I'll just mention right now. So in Padma Puran, what is mentioned is that how Bhakti Devi from South India, she moves all the way to Gujarat and to Vrindavan, and she has two sons, knowledge and detachment. And by the time she reaches Vrindavan, knowledge and detachment, they're emaciated, like they're fully, like they're weak basically. So Bhakti Devi comes to Narada Rishi, who appears there, and Narada Rishi is bewildered how knowledge and detachment are so emaciated. So wanting to know the real truth, he goes to the four Kumaras in Badrinath. They're all brothers, because they're all sons of Lord Brahma. And in Badrinath, the Sanat Kumaras, they tell Narada Rishi that that we have to come to this place called Ananda Ghat. So this is Ananda Ghat. Ananda means happiness, the ghat of happiness. And that Bhagavatam has to be spoken here. So the Sanat Kumaras, along with Narada Rishi, they come here and they speak. The Sanat Kumaras, they speak the original Bhagavatam to Narada Rishi, explaining the real purpose of bhakti and how, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, knowledge and detachment can be revived. So all that knowledge was given here among various other rishis. So I just want to read a little excerpt from Padma Puran itself, just explaining how it happened. So the Sanat Kumaras, they tell Narada Rishi, go on the bank of Ganga near Haridwar at a place called Ananda. So this place, even though it's upper Rishikesh, thousands of years ago, this place was considered as a part of Haridwar itself, because Rishikesh, the town Rishikesh, the word Rishikesh comes from Rishikesh Narayan, which is the Rishikesh Narayan deity in downtown Rishikesh, which hopefully we'll see one day. And that happened after this incident, actually. So when this incident happened, this place was still called Haridwar, you can say, the entrance to the door of Hari. Because to go to the Himalayas, you would go through Haridwar and Rishikesh. Like, this is the path to Badrinath, basically. You can't go from anywhere else. You have to go from here, basically. All the Pandavas, that road over there, that's the old road which Ramachandra took. Nityananda Prabhu has walked on that road. All the Acharyas, Madhavacharya, everyone has walked on that old road up to Badrinath. This highway that we took is a fairly new road that the British built, but that's the old road. So the Sanat Kumaras tell Narada Rishi, go to the bank of Ganga near Haridwar at a place called Ananda. So this ghat is called Ananda Ghat. We will explain everything to you, so kindly hear from us. Near Haridwar, there is a bathing place called Ananda Ghat. Many saintly persons reside there, even now, and demigods and perfected beings visit frequently. The place abounds with various types of trees and creepers, and the sand is soft and appealing. The beautiful ghat decorates a solitary point on Mother Ganga. Bathe your mind with beautiful thoughts of Lord Hari. So this is Sanat Kumaras telling Narada Rishi. Bathe your mind with the beautiful thoughts of Lord Hari. By the sound of Bhagavatam, knowledge and detachment, the young kids of bhakti, they will become young and energetic. Go there and effortlessly start this Bhagavat Jnana Yajna, for by the medium of this katha, a novel rasa will manifest. You will see bhakti appear along with jnana and vairagya, who have become derelict. Wherever there is a recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti, jnana and vairagya automatically become manifest. By the sound of Bhagavatam, they will become young and energetic. Everyone came in haste to this place to drink the nectar of Bhagavatam. After saying this, the Kumaras desiring to drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam arrived at the bank of Mother Ganga along with Narada. So they all arrived here. The news spread all over the earth and throughout the three planetary systems. Those devotees who harbored any taste for hearing the Lord's pastimes came in haste to drink the nectar of Bhagavatam. Sages like Bhrigu, Vashishta, Chavana, Gautama, Medatithi, Devala, Devarata, Parushurama, Tattatreya, Pippalada, Vyasa, Parashara Rishi, etc., and all such great personalities arrived here along with their family members and disciples. Right here. Besides them, the Vedas, the Upanishads, Mantra, Tantra, the 17 Puranas, and the 6 philosophical systems came in their personified forms. Sacred rivers like Ganga, sacred ponds like Pushkara, holy Kshetras like Kurukshetra, sanctified forests like Dandaka, all the directions, majestic mountains like the Himalayas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and even the Danavas came here to hear Harikatha. Those who were not inclined to come out of excessive pride were brought by the great sage Bhrigu, who had expertly convinced them. The Kumaras then sat on a beautiful seat offered by Sri Narada, right below that tree. I'll tell you about that tree pretty soon. The Kumaras then sat on a beautiful seat offered by Sri Narada and resolved themselves to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. In the front of the audience sat Vaishnavas, renunciates, brahmacharis, and Sri Narada Muni sat in front of them. On the one side sat the sages and on the other side the demigods. One place hosted the Vedas and the Upanishads and the other place hosted the holy places. In yet another place sat the woman, while all around could be heard, all glories, jai, jai. As conscience resounded and people decorated each other with colored powder and flowers, some demigods alighted from their airplanes and from the sky others showered flowers on the audience. Right here. As conscience resounded and people decorated each other with colored powder and flowers, some demigods alighted from their airplanes and from the sky others showered flowers on the audience. The Kumaras began reciting the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone sat with an attentive mind. And Sutta Goswami is actually mentioning this whole story, which is mentioned in Padma Puran. So Sutta Goswami said, in this way the worship was performed, and then everyone sat with an attentive mind. The Kumaras began reciting the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam before the sage Narad. One should always hear Srimad Bhagavatam, for just by doing so, the Lord sits in one's heart. Srimad Bhagavatam alone is sufficient to grant liberation. That house where Bhagavatam is recited daily becomes a holy place, and those who reside there become free from all sins. O sages, sins reside in a person's body only until he properly hears Srimad Bhagavatam. The benefits offered by Ganga, Gaya, Kashi, Pushkara, or Prayagraj cannot compare to those derived from hearing Bhagavatam. If you all desire the supreme destination, then you should daily recite at least one half or even one fourth of a Srimad Bhagavatam shloka. So this is from Padma Puran, Maharaj. So as Padma Puran says, this is the first place where the first Bhagavatam sermon was spoken between Sanat Kumaras, Narada Rishi, and all the rishis and demigods. They first came here. This was millions of years ago in a different kalpa, basically. Since then, this place has always been here, and sadhus for thousands and thousands of years have maintained this place. There is a beautiful ancient banyan tree that's called Akshayavata. So Akshay means eternal, Vata means tree. The original Akshayavata is in Prayagraj, in Allahabad. Which is known to everyone. But the Akshayavata in Himalayas, which is renowned by all the Vaishnavas and sadhus, is this one. So Akshayavata means that it has always been there, it always will be there. So while we're going back, we'll go to the tree and you will see how the ancient roots, because what happens is that the tree lasts for about 500 years, and then just as a tree is about to die, a newer tree automatically comes on its own accord and wraps around the tree. And this happens on its own. No one has to plant any seeds or anything. So you can see there are many older roots that have been wrapped around, and this has been there since forever, basically. So this is also, Padma Puran also says that if you go to an Akshayavata, any desires that you have comes true and all miseries are removed. So this is the Akshayavata of the Himalayas, which is well renowned. Now, so that is the story of Bhagavatam. Now, as you can see, our dear Maharaj is sitting inside this cave. And this itself is a very, very special place. So, 5,000 years ago, so today is Vijayadashami, happy Dashera, happy Vijayadashami. Today is the day that Ram killed Ravan and victory was attained. So, after Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana, he was feeling a little bad that he had killed a Brahmana. So Ravana was the son of a great rishi, Varata, starts with a V. He was the son of a great rishi, and his mother was a Asuric princess. She was a demoness. So and as Maharaj was saying the other day, Ravana was so expert in chanting mantras that, you know, even the wife of Agni had to present herself to him because he was such an expert. Ravana Samhita is still even used to this day by many astrologers. He was like an expert Brahmana, apart from the fact that he was a demon, but he was a Brahmana. So Ramachandra was born in a Kshatriya race, the race of the warriors. So he was feeling a little bad that he had killed a Brahmana, and he went to his guru Vashishtha Muni, and he presented his dilemma and his feeling bad about it, basically. And Vashishtha Muni said, see, you have killed a demon, so there's no sin, but there is obviously that thing of Brahmahatya, because you are Purushottam Ramachandra, which means you are presenting how a human should live. So if a Kshatriya starts killing Brahmana, even if he's a demon, it may set a wrong precedent. So he said, just for the sake of Dharma, what you can do is that you can go next to the bank of Mother Ganga and meditate and just seek atonement for this little sin that you have committed. Even though it is no sin, because it's Krishna himself, Lord Ramachandra, is killing a demon. But just to show the world, you know, how one should act and behave. So with Ramachandra and along with Vashishtha, the three other brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughan, they also followed him because they were also part of the war effort somehow, and they also felt that they also need to come and atone for themselves. So Vashishtha Muni came and he's meditated in Vashishtha Gufa, which is a few kilometers ahead. Some of you have already been there. And Lord Ramachandra sat here. This is where Lord Ram meditated. And Lakshmana meditated near Lakshman Jula. There's a Lakshman Mandir there. It's called Tapovan. That's where Lakshmana meditated. Bharat meditated in Bharat Temple, which we may go at a later stage. And Shatrughan meditated at Shatrughan Ghat, where the evening Ganga Aarti happens. So they all sat a few kilometers from each other. You know, even in temples when we're chanting, we usually give some space. So they all gave some space and they all sat next to Mother Ganga chanting. So Lord Ramachandra sat here in this cave. This cave was much more deeper, but recently they've built all these steps for more convenience. So Lord Ramachandra sat in this cave and he meditated for many years before he went to Dev Prayag, and where he finished his meditation in Dev Prayag. So as he was meditating here, Ganga was flowing with full force here, you know. So he wasn't able to concentrate. So he decided, I'm just going to get up and move a little higher up. So just as Lord Ramachandra got up, Mother Ganga appeared with folded arms and she said, my dear Lord, why are you leaving? So he said, I'm not able to focus because you're just too loud. So she said, do not worry, I will become very quiet here. So just 200 meters, just where the Osho Ashram is, just from there until here where Mother Ganga turns around, just this little area of 200 meters, she's very quiet. Like you can see, like she's super quiet. You can hear yourself chanting. You can hear me speak. So she's very quiet here. And just above that, she's very fierce. Below that, she's very strong. So she became very quiet in this area and Lord Ramachandra was able to meditate here. So as he was meditating, just behind Viprakrit Prabhu, there is this big shila, this big rock. That's called the Hanuman Shila. So Lord Hanuman sat on top of that, giving guard duties when Lord Ram was meditating here. So that's called the Hanuman Shila. And as we move out, after in the end, when we move out, we'll also take you to the Sanat Kumaras, they also have a cave, which is a much bigger cave, where the four Kumaras meditated as well. So Lord Ramachandra meditated here, Lord Hanuman meditated here, the Sanat Kumaras, numerous rishis from the age of yore have come here and meditated. And the rishis of this time, they're under the Ramanandi Sampradaya, and the last 350 years they've taken care of this place, and they don't allow the general public to come here. They don't even allow Westerners to come here, by the way. But with the mercy of Maharaj, we are here, and they've kept this as sanctified as possible. They don't want this to be destroyed. Obviously, there's an Osho ashram right next door, but they keep it as sanctified as possible. So, by the mercy of Mother Ganga and Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, we are here. So, now we'll listen to Maharaj. So, that's it, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Should we do a very kirtan perhaps, because the devotees are used to. What is a good melody?
A long one?
Yeah. Yeah. Let us do the katha first. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. Hari Hari Bol. Am I audible to you? Can you hear me acoustically? Yes. So, let us one more time chant. What? Sorry. One moment. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One more time, please. I think we all know that when Vidura was expelled from the court of Hastinapur by the harsh and offending words of Duryodhan, he left his bow at the gate of the palace. He gave up his duties as a mantri, as the prime minister, and went on a pilgrimage. And it was in Haridwar. This is all the area. Haridwar means the gate to Lord Hari, because it's through Haridwar where you go, through the gate of Haridwar, if you so want, to reach Badrinath, the place where the Lord is always residing. So Vidura met here the great sage Maitreya, who, as we have heard, pronounce the blessing that there will be a good breeze so that there is no disturbing mosquitoes. You have felt Maitreya's blessings this morning. And he asked him a question. And I would like to recite the question to you, and Maitreya's answer. I will make it as brief as possible, but I want to make it also as useful for your spiritual life as possible. So let us just offer our pranams to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitina. I can't hear you. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskajare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Go Bhaktavinda. Yes, I know you know. His question, Vidura's question, was a question which concerns all of us. How can we overcome miseries and sufferings? When a great soul like Maitreya asks a question like this, he asks on the behalf of the conditioned souls. It's almost like when a parent takes a child to the doctor, he will ask the doctor, please, how can we be healed? And here the parent asked many questions on behalf of the little boy who is suffering from an ailment, and then the doctor answered. So Vidura asked, Shukaya karmani karoti loko natai sukam vanyatu paramangva vindita bhuyas tataeva dukkam yat atra yuktam bhagavan vadenna. He said, I have seen, Maitreya, that in this world everyone is always active to increase their happiness. But though one finds happiness for a long time, no satiation. And what is troubling is, although they have been proven to always end up in misery, they continue with their material activities to find happiness and cannot find detachment. They cannot say, no, I'm leaving this behind. Please, therefore, give us direction how to find real happiness. Can you relate to this question, that no matter what you try, there's always a pinch of suffering or anxiety at the end? No? Why is this so? What is wrong here? The sixth canto gives one answer, but this section of the Bhagavatam will give another one. The answer of the sixth canto is, when you go into a salt mine, where everything is salt, then wherever you scratch, you will only have salt, no sugar. So in the material world, wherever you try, even in the sauna, making a journey where everything seems to be perfect, you're trying to scratch out some sugar from the salt mine. It does not work. Hare Krishna. And he then says to Maitreya, I know you are a great soul, and these great souls, Janasya Krishnat, Vimukasya Daivat, they travel on the earth on behalf of Lord Janardhan, the Lord, to show compassion to the fallen souls. So you must have the answer. You have traveled everywhere.
Can you give us a recipe for happiness? Please give me instructions. I need to know this. So the Bhagavatam continues, and a chapter later, Maitreya Muni is finally answering this question. Before he gives his answer, the Bhagavatam makes a general statement that when you have a deep, deep question, something which you feel you need a solution for, you must do what Vidura did, that is, search the company of sadhus, sadhu sanghas, because in this company of sadhu sanghas, your devotion or bhakti in the heart will be accelerated. In other words, you will much quicker make advancement in spiritual growth than in any other situation. And I think this is the underlying idea of Kirtan Melas. We want to have association, but such association where we help each other to accelerate. If you allow me here a side comment. When you are with devotees, please try to increase more the devotional subjects. Very often we talk ordinary subjects and we don't take full advantage of sadhu sangha. But if you do, make the sangha nice and inspiring and helpful, you will accelerate the progress of the others. So finally, Maitreya, who is sitting in a meditative pose, starts to answer the question of Vidura, how to solve this dilemma that we look for happiness, we are not satisfied in distress. We are born in an ocean of nectar and we want all this nectar, but this is not the place apparently. But is there a way to find happiness? And yes, Maitreya says, Soham ninam chulasukaya dukkam mahatgatanam viramaya tasya pravataye bhagavatam puranam yad aha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. He says, I will now speak the Bhagavatam which was directly spoken by Bhagavan to the great sages for the benefit of people who have to accept great suffering to get a little tucha happiness in this world. They go through many, many hard endeavors to get a little happiness, but I will now help everyone by giving this solution, the Bhagavatam. It was directly spoken by Bhagavan to the sages. Now you will ask, what sages? Can you tell more detail? And the answer is given in this 8th chapter of the Bhagavatam. These were indeed the sages headed by Sanat Kumara. You can imagine them. They were in the body of young children. They did not want to grow up, to never feel the sexual urge, which cannot be satisfied entirely for long. It's just some flickering sensual agitation, which has nothing to do with the Atma Sukha, the pleasure of the soul.
So they didn't want to undergo this harassment of material desires. So they stopped their bodies from growth, but they are thousands of years old. They are dressed only by the wind. They have not even a kopin on. Yes, children. Children can walk like this everywhere. They, everyone welcome. Come, come, come. Even if they are stark naked, yes. So these four Kumaras also thought, the people endeavor so hard in this world, what's the solution? So they went down to the Patala Loka planets, where there is a form of the Lord called Sankarshan. And when they arrived, Sankarshan was not in the position to speak. Lord Sankarshan was meditating on Lord Vasudev. But as he felt the four Kumaras coming into his space, so to say, or coming closer, he felt, and he slightly opened the eyes to see who is there, and he saw it's the four Kumara. So then he opened his eyes fully and in trance began to speak. You must know, and he gave them the Bhagavatam. So these four Kumaras had come from the highest planets where they resigned. Through the river Ganga, they had traveled down and they had come here to glorify the Lord in very nice words. And amongst them, when they started to speak, what they had heard previously from Lord Sankarshan, there was one great soul, his name is Sankhyayana Muni. He collected the information of the Bhagavatam and he gave it to Parashara. And Parashara or Brihaspati gave it to Maitreya Rishi, and Maitreya Rishi is now going to speak it to whom? Vidura, yes, you've heard. I find it very interesting how the Sanat Kumar, the four Rishis came here. They traveled via a particular pathway. How did they travel? Through the Ganga. I had once been in Vyasa Chetty, where two mystical events happened. I will only tell, I've told one, but I've never told anyone the second one, because I felt no one will believe me. The one mystical event I will not repeat here, but the second was, I'm telling the truth. I was sitting doing my japa and I looked at the Ganga, and all of a sudden I saw how out of the Ganga came a rishi. He had something like dreadlocks, came as a person, and he was not there. He had not before. There was no gamsha or anything. He had all of a sudden come out. He shaked the water a little bit. He came out. He looked at me. And he continued to walk. It was one of those encounters where you are very respectful and you don't ask a foolish question. From where did you just now come? Can you please tell me? I didn't want to ask such a foolish question, and I also felt, oh, I'm a very, very ordinary person. I'm sorry if I'm sitting here. He just saw me like this and walked. They don't talk unnecessarily. Later I understand Sachisuddha Prabhu. Rishis still, or saints, these real people, they go through the Ganga. Now, here Ganga is in a liquid form, so that out of compassion to the fallen souls. On higher planets, she is another form, an energetic form, and she is still another form. She looks like this in her goddess form. A sacred river has three dimensions. One is the one we see. You just need to look. The other is the one which sensitive devotees who are purified in heart can feel energy. My God, as Krishna Murari said yesterday, the vibes are good. No energy, no American English. Then there's the other, it's a goddess form. I will introduce a Ganga meditation from this work called Ganga Lahari to you. We will meditate on how she looks as a goddess as a conclusion of this. But yes, the four Kumaras came here, traveling through Mother Ganga and talk the Bhagavatam to Maitreya Muni, and Maitreya gave it in Haridwar to, once again, Vidura. Yes. My dear devotees, you will ask the question, but Maharaj, we are listening to the Bhagavatam and we are very miserable. This doesn't work. Don't be impractical, please. Yeah. Are you using the key? In everything spiritual, my dear devotees, there are two things working. Your own effort, this is called Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, and the second is Kripa, mercy. So you need to make a little effort and to show your readiness to receive the blessings. And the particular effort which needs to be done if you want to unlock the secret of the Bhagavatam is given in the second canto. You must hear Bhagavatam regularly, every day. You must hear it in a certain mood, with Shraddha, with faith. And Svachestikam, Svachestitam, you must make this effort, Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, where you are trying to focus and concentrate yourself. Look at this. There's hot water in here. The hot water was made by Gaur Krishna in the boiler. To make it hot, Gaur Krishna had to make sure that there was constant supply of electricity. If the electricity would be switched on and off, he would never been able to heat the water. So if you on and off practice Bhagavatam, you will not become hot, so to say. You will not become immersed in the Bhagavatam. You must also increase your faith in spiritual matters as being the own work, as clearing your doubts, and you should make the effort to do that in a concentrated way. Then it works. Don't you remember how Gokana, the saint with the ears of the cow, big ears for good hearing, gave that Bhagavat Katha and his sinful brother Dundukari was also there. The sinful brother was so sinful that he had been condemned to be a ghost. So he was entering into a bamboo which was growing nearby to listen to that Bhagavad Katha, because it was told to him that all miseries go by the vibration of the sacred syllables of the Bhagavatam. And at the end of the Bhagavad Katha, the Gokarna was delivered, and an airplane came from the Vaikuntha filled with four Vishnu Dutas. They touched this ghost and he developed a spiritual body instantaneously. He was about to get on the Vimana to go back home, back to Godhead, after hearing. There were also some villagers around, and as they saw this miracle of transformation, they shouted, "No! We also listen to the Bhagavatam. Why do you only take him and not us?" And the Vishnu Duta said, "Did you really listen? You were not attentive." He was attentive because he knew his life depended on it. He was a ghost. It was miserable to be. A ghost has more desires than a human being, but no body to fulfill them. It's like being on a constant fast and hankering for date sweets. You cannot eat it. You get crazy. So he had no senses even. What to speak of fasting? He had no senses. So the Bhagavatam can deliver you from misery. And all of you, think back when you were reading the Bhagavatam in a submissive mood, how all of a sudden you felt lightness in the heart. Someone has experienced? Yes? Hari Kirtan? Oh! Sachi Sutta? When you are there and you're finally there, you can bring your mind manak samharanam to the thing, and you find all of a sudden a point that strikes you. I wouldn't say start Bhagavatam with time and the calculation of time from watching the movements of the atoms. This is highly technical. You might go to a place where you really get this and you feel the lightness of the heart. Because the Bhagavatam is compared with the sun that rises and relieves you from the inner darkness.
It's happening right now.
Thank you very much. At the end, I would like you all to go into a little meditation on Mother Ganga. Is that a good idea? I will first one moment. Yes, here is her description. I just need one moment here. Yes, there is an author of a work. The work is called Ganga Lahari, The Mighty Waves of Mother Ganga. He is Pandit Raj, the king of the Pandits, called Jagannath. In another place I told his story, just in brief. He was the court Pandit of whom? Where was he? You know, he was, yes, of the Muslim emperor Shah Jahan. It's in the 16th century. He was a Brahmin, and he was there to give counsel and so on. So he had what we call a fall down. He fell madly in love with a Muslim lady, and his community of Brahmanas thought, you will be excommunicated. You will have no position in society any longer. More or less like Ajamil, no, who was excommunicated and had to he had no means to support, so he became a criminal, you know. So this Pandit, this Jagannath, felt very regretful, and he went to Varanasi, where he sat at the banks of the Ganga, like we sit here. There were 52 steps in this bathing ghat down to Mother Ganga, and he used all his skills as a Pandit to praise Mother Ganga with composed verses. And with each verse, Mother Ganga rose for one step. She came higher and higher and higher where he sat. So with this 47th verse, he's coming to the end. Ganga is very close. She's just there, just coming. He said, "O river, O divine river, please quickly fasten your beautiful firm belt, bind your crown with snakes on your head," with snakes, this is very good. "And after preparing yourself, don't hesitate any longer. Come to me, to the sinful Jagannath. He should now be uplifted." You must know in India, when someone walks for a long walk, he will tighten a bell around, a belt. It is good for the muscles in the back. You can really walk. If you become old and fat and you cannot walk any longer, put a belt around it, and then it goes very good. So he said, because you will have to come a long way to come to, I'm so low and you are so high, you please tighten your belt and be careful. I'm very low. Just tighten also your crown that you don't lose it, you know, when you come and save me. And then he says this beautiful Ganga meditation, where he describes this form of Mother Ganga. I will once again show it to you. Please view the form. Where does she sit?
On a crocodile.
On a crocodile, and she has a cushion, a
lotus
flower. Can you walk a little higher with your attention? Can you see her hands? These are two mudras. The one mudra where her hand is, it's her right hand, goes like this. It's the mudra of blessing. And the other mudra, left hand, is like this. Can you see? You will see these mudras also in deities. It means she grants fearlessness. Mother Ganga. Yes, Dameshwara Mahaprabhu also has, has he these two gestures even?
Two hands.
No fear. And, well, in his case, I heard he gives love. Like Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And can you move a little bit higher? What are on her other hands?
Lotus and Amrita.
A lotus, and there is a pot full of nectar. Move a little bit higher. She has earrings, and look at her crown. What strikes you when you look at the top of the crown?
It's a new moon.
Yes, new moon, a young moon. So Pandit Raj Jagannath gives this as form He describes in a beautiful shloka the four-armed personal form of Ganga Devi. Remember, please, Ganga is on one level water, this is the Adibhautika level. On another level, Adhyatmic level, she is an energy. And on the highest level, she is a divine goddess. So I request you to, if possible, to turn now to Mother Ganga. Go Krishna, make a sound, this meditative sound. And you please don't meditate, you look at me. We will sing then Ganga, 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 Ganga. You will sing. You will sing. Yeah. Please remain still close. Yeah, you are all close. Do you hear my sound? You hear my sound. Good. I'm sorry, I'm yelling a little bit because I need to reach your ears. Yes. I would like to request you to just sit straight. And we won't do the Deha Dharana mind concentration exercise. We will just chant a sacred syllable Om in a moment. Please bring your mind totally to the Om as you chant. Om, according to Sanatana Goswami, is A is Krishna, U is Radha, and M is the living entity. It is everything is in there. It is also Vaishnavas also chant Om. Deep inhale, please. Kindly focus your attention on your in and outgoing breath. Walk with your breathing, or next to your breathing. When you inhale, know you're breathing in. Stay aware of the ingoing breath, and whenever you breathe out, know that you are breathing out. Remain aware. When you are doing this meditation, there might be interruptions of people on the Ganga who get their mercy of the Ganga. So it's best if we close our eyes now so that we will not be distracted and continue to breathe in and out. As you come to your exhale now, whenever you come, please try to lengthen your exhale. This will lengthen also your inhale. Bring all that air out on your exhale. deep and relaxed in and exhales. No force, please, just deep and relaxed. Some of your mind is wandering because you are Hare Krishnas. You know how to meditate. Stay with the in and outgoing breath, please. You will make an experience. Don't become switch off. This air is filled with blessings. The breezes of Mother Ganga are very powerful. Now, please breathe into your heart. Just in a moment, imagine there's a nose in your chest area and you breathe the prana into this area, into your heart area. Please breathe in and out into your heart area. And become aware of that light, soft energy or feeling of lightness. And ease as you breathe in and out into your heart area. And as you hear this beautiful recitation, meditate on each of the words. Charat Chandra Svetam Shashi Shakala Shvetala Mukutam. O Mother, you have a white complexion like that of the autumn moon. Your crown is decorated with the half moon. Surrounded by white serpents. Your hands have assumed the postures of granting boons and fearlessness. And in your other two hands, you hold a pot and a lotus flower. Your ornaments and clothes resemble a flow of nectar. And you are seated on a white crocodile. Whoever meditates on your form in this way will be freed from any harm.
Ganga, 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 Ganga.
Ganga, Ganga, Ganga. Please sing.
Ganga, 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 Ganga. Ganga, Ganga.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare this wonderful session with all of you. It was so nice to have you here. I would like to introduce you to you a traditional method of what the audience does after hearing the Bhagavatam recital. I learned this from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, and he is very Shastric inclined. See, there is this problem which we have. We hear something, and while we hear it, and we manage to be attentive, if we manage to be attentive, we can relish and touch the subject matter a little bit, no? But then afterwards, the old thoughts which we are habituated in, they come. I can imagine that by now some of you will think, oh, what's about breakfast? Do they serve breakfast here? Or something like this, because we are habituated. It's It's normal. It is called neurological wiring. We are wired in certain ways, and that means our thoughts will always go in that direction. The old thoughts have the tendency to overflood the new thoughts, and we always remain the same. Therefore, there is this old traditional method. It is called anumodan. Anumodan means you share what you have relished. So I would request you to go in groups of two and just quickly turn to the neighbor and try to recall something either from the Bhagavatam recital or from what our Vikramaditya has told us, or anything which is still there, something which maybe has struck you, something which you feel could be important for your life. And you will see at the beginning your old thought is no, Bhagavatam, that is done. Now I'm thinking of what is before me. But if you practice this, even in your reading, that after you have finished the reading, you stop for a little while, you think, what have I just read? And then ideally, if you can talk about it from others, you create a good mind, a new mind. No? So you have to work a little bit on the new mind, and this is one of the ways. And you will see, as you do this, as you exchange with another, thoughts will come, remembrances will come, and it will stick better. So we will do this only for 3 minutes. So please just turn to your neighbor. I will go with Gokrishna, I think. You're the next one here. And I will watch the time and give you a signal, no? So start, please, now. Find your neighbor. And please, everyone, do it. Seva. Ganga Seva. So, Hare Krishna. We have two more parts on the program, small parts. I will first ask Krishna Murari. You may not know him, but he grew, he got his education in our Gurukul, and he's a Goswami from Nandagram. He's now on the altar. They give different shifts to different Goswamis. And in fact, we will have a program on the first day of... when is it? Do you remember? We don't have it. Something is different time we will have. So he is there and has opened really the door to us there also. We are very welcome always, and I always think because he's born as a bridge Parsi, he can give a certain aspect which we as Vrindavan lovers are also very interested. So please speak a little, Krishna Murari Goswami, and then Vikrama Prabhu will, we can do a few, Vikrama can show you that Akshayavat, it's an immortal tree, that's really something. And there are only two now in India.
One in Prayagraj, in Allahabad, yeah. And one is here.
Yeah. So, an immortal tree, I mean, you want to see an immortal being, no? And desire something good, you know, not something which makes you more suffer. Mother Teresa says, more suffering has come in this world from prayers that were answered than from prayers that were not answered.
Whoa.
Because they were foolish requests.
Careful, that's a tree.
Yeah.
That's a great statement.
Great statement, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
And it makes immediate sense, no? Because if you think when you were young what you desired and then you got it and you were entangled for some years with that. So good. So please, Krishna Murari, so he will show you and explain, and also I will personally stay a little bit longer here and chant some japa and do some preaching, some seva with I'm at the moment building a nice preaching project and I need photos for that, so we will have photos. Yes, so perhaps after this you all would like to go up and see everything and then go and take your breakfast. We have only nectar from the nectar pot of Ganga Devi here, but you can go downstairs and put the drops of water. The breakfast is in MVT. No? Yes. So hopefully that was not a downer.
Until when do they serve the breakfast? Do you know?
It's from 8:30.
Till?
Close at 3:30.
सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्त्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः. दिस् ब्यूटिफुल् कन्वर्सेशन् विच् इस् मेन्शन्ड् इन् श्री पद्मपुराण नोन् एस् भागवत् महात्म्य and in Puranas there are two specific Bhagavat Mahatmya, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. One mentioned in Skanda Purana, one mentioned in Padma Purana. And especially when Srimad Bhagavatam is recited for these 7 days, as per the Saptahik Vidhi, on the first day, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhagavat Mahatmya is described. Basically, there are two stories or two contexts in those six chapters of Padma Purana Bhagavat Mahatmya. The first context is Sri Narada Muni's interaction with Bhakti Devi, and the place where we are it holds a part in that conversation. And the next one was Gokarna and Dundukari. And when Sri Narada Muni was moving around through the different parts of the world, of the universe, when he came to the earth and to different holy places and then reached Vrindavan, and there he saw Sri Bhakti Devi and her two sons, Gyan and Vairagya, were not in a good condition. And Bhakti Devi was young, and I will basically take three most important points out of this conversation between Narada Muni and Bhakti Devi, and the effort of Sri Narada Muni to relieve away Gyan and Vairagya, to make them balavan. When Sri Narada Muni was ordered by the voice from the sky that you go towards the Himalayas, towards the Ananda Ghat, where we are at the moment, that Sri Sanata Kumaras will instruct you. And when he came here, and this beautiful conversation between Narada Muni and Sanat Kumaras, and Sanat Kumaras are instructing Narada Muni that, oh Narada, what for making Gyan and Vairagya pushta, mean for nourishing Gyan and Vairagya, what you have to do is, श्रीमद् भागवत आलाप सातु गीता शुकादिभि भक्ति ज्ञान विरागानां तद घोष बलम महत. दैट ओ नारदा, यू हैव टू रिसाइट श्रीमद् भागवतम टू to this to Jnana and Vairagya. By this, by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to Jnana and Vairagya, they will be balam mahat, they will get strength. But Narada replies to the Sanat Kumaras that I was chanting Vedas or the Gita Pateshu to them, but they were not getting strength. So Sanat Kumaras reply again, and they give two wonderful examples. Sanat Kumaras are replying that this Srimad Bhagavatam is essence of all the Vedas and the Shastras. And then the example which they are giving is of a tree. When we have a big tree, for example, we have a mango tree, the sweetness of mango comes from the tree only. But if you try to eat the leaves, or if you try to eat the trunk of the mango tree, you will not feel the taste. The taste of mango will come from the fruit. In the same way, all the Vedas and Shastras and Srimad Bhagavatam is like the fruit of this tree. This is first example which they are giving. The second example which they are giving of milk and ghee. Although the ghee is already present in the milk, but you cannot light a lamp with milk. You cannot light a lamp with the milk, but the ghee is always present in the milk. But because of the when there's a process by which when ghee becomes a food even for devatas, and by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, O Narada, what will happen? As when the singh or when the lion, kalir dosho ime sarve shing sabdad vraka eva. Vraka are like the wolves. Vraka in Sanskrit mean wolves. So when singha, when the lion is roaring, what happens? The wolves run away. In that same way, when you recite Srimad Bhagavatam, all the bad things will run away. And the three things which come out of this beautiful conversation is yat phalam nasti tapsa na yogena samadina tat phalam labate samyak kalau keshava kirtanat. When Bhakti Devi and Narada Muni were having this conversation, Bhakti Devi asked that why did Parikshit Maharaj allow Kali Yuga to come? Because in Kali Yuga, Jnana and Vairagya becomes less powerful. So why did Parikshit Maharaj allow Kali Yuga to come? So Narada Muni gives a reply that there are so many bad things in Kali Yuga. There are so many bad things. But Kali Yuga has one very good quality, that whatever sukritis or whatever blessings one receives by doing yajna, tapasa, yoga, in this age of Kali, one can receive that just by Kalau Keshava Kirtanat. Just by the kirtan of the names of Keshava. So first process which Narada Muni is instructing about Kalau Keshava Kirtanat. The second point which comes prominently up is Vrindavanasa Sanyogat Punastvam Taruni Nava. When Narada Muni saw Bhakti Devi as powerful, as effulgent, as young, where? Only in Vrindavan, not anywhere else. So Kalau Keshava Kirtanat, and then the second process is Vrindavanasya Sanyogad. By the association of Vrindavan, Bhakti Devi, even the spiritual life of the devotees get re-nourished. Because Dhanyam Vrindavanam Tena Bhaktir Nattati Yatracha. Because Vrindavan is so glorious that the Bhakti Devi dances there. So Kalau Keshava Kirtanath, Vrindavanasya Sanyogat, by the association of Vrindavan. And at the end, what the essence comes out of the conversation. Actually, we are at the place where Bhagavati Ganga is flowing and Jnana Ganga is also flowing. The Brahma Gyan, the Ganga of Brahma Gyan also flows here from Sanat Kumara to Narada and then on and on. At the end, Sri Narada Muni is giving the sense of his conversation, of the teachings which he has received from the Sanat Kumaras, and he is saying in this specific shloka, Sada Sevya, Sada Sevya, Srimad Bhagavati Katha. As we were instructed by Maharaj also, that it has to go on constantly, regularly. Sada Sevya, Sada Sevya, Srimad Bhagavati Katha, Yashya Sravana Matrena, Harish Chittam Samashrayet. By the constant hearing or chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? Yashya Shravana Matrena, Harish Chittam Samashrayet. Krishna gets a seat, or Krishna comes to your heart and he sits there. Harish Chittam Samashrayet. He takes an ashray. Krishna takes a shell, stays in the heart, or is installed into the hearts. So we are here specifically for the Kirtan Mela, Kalau Keshav Kirtanath. And after this, we have specifically come here to prepare ourselves for the association of Vrindavan, for going to Vrindavan. And the third thing, which is a great instruction through this Jnana Ganga, is Sada Seva Srimad Bhagavati Kirtha. So we should remember these three points out of this conversation known as Bhagavat Mahatma from Padma Purana. Kalau Keshava Kirtanath, Vrindavanasya Sanyogat, and then Sada Sevya Srimad Bhagavati Katha. It's a honor, or it's a blessing to come to such places where such high things, you know, for those who do Bhagavat Parayan, those who recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Vallabhacharya, he took really that spirit of Sada Sevya Srimad Bhagavati Katha. Although all the Acharyas take this spirit of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the life of Sri Vallabhacharya, we really find that wherever he went, there are 84 prominent places known as baithaks where he was sitting during his parikrama, during his journey or pilgrimage to the different parts of India. The first thing which he would do was Bhagavat Parayan. Every morning he would recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So all the acharyas have taken this thing to their utmost heart, that we should do the seva of, and this is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam is in itself a seva to Thakurji. It's a seva, it's a welfare. Astadash Puraneshu Vyasasya Vachanadvayam, that in all the Puranas, all the Shastras which are composed or written by Sri Vyasadev, what is the sense of them? Astadash Puraneshu Vyasasya Vachanadvayam Paropkaraya Punnaya Papaya Parapidanam. There are two important things out of which are the essence of his Shastras. The first thing is Paropkaraya Punyaya. We should do welfare. And what is the greatest welfare? It's mentioned in the 10th canto. The greatest welfare workers are those who go and distribute the Amrit of Krishna. So we should do welfare, and which is the greatest thing. And the worst thing is we do parapidanam, that we disturb, or we do the bad thing of generating papa. We should not be doing this. So this is the essence. So this is the place where, you know, the high place where there are so many blessings, because we might not see it, but the eternal Jnana Ganga, Brahma Jnana Ganga is always flowing. So I would just wanted to say these three points. Radhe Shyam.
Thank you. Very well spoken. Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very, very much. And I hope that you will take some inspiration from this place. And I think we can now continue. Perhaps I have seen, I will just stay here, but perhaps you wish to return. And on the way up, Vikrama can show you and explain to you this immortal banyan tree. I thank you very much for coming. It was very enlivening, and I think it was a good start for our, how do we say, Kalau Keshava Kirtanad, for our Kirtan Mela. No? We start today at 5 o'clock. Perhaps those who are Kirtan leaders are a little bit before there, so that we can set up everything. Hare Krishna.